Ephesians chapter 6 again, returning there and to verse number 10, please. Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. We'll end our reading there, and we know God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Let's just have one more word of prayer. Let's all have a word of prayer. Again, let's all just ask the Lord to speak to us this morning. Every time this book is opened, God addresses us, as we've said before. So let's pray that the Lord will speak to us and meet the need of every heart and bless those. Let's all pray together. Our God and Father, I confess my inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Every brother and sister here confesses their inadequacy without the Holy Ghost to understand aright. And therefore, Lord, we pray for an outpouring of the Spirit upon this little gathering. We pray, O God, that you'll draw near. Empty me of self and sin. Forgive my sins. Cleanse us all in Jesus' blood. Help us, Lord, to know what it is to worship thee now aright. Grant me that infilling, that baptism of the Holy Ghost with power. Grant, O God, a breath from heaven in this very meeting. And glorify your Son. Bind the devil. Bind the strong man. And let the blood prevail, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The last time I was with you, we finished looking at our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we looked at taking the shield of faith. We noted that a man in the camp, a soldier in the Roman army, he wouldn't go to bed with the shield on top of him. But having said that, he certainly would keep it nearby, lest while he slept, the attack was to come upon the camp suddenly. Verse 16 says, above all, taking. It gives the sense of something we take in a moment of danger, something we take when the enemy draws near. Now, we know a shield protects. As we noted, that the shield in the Roman army was a massive shield. It would cover the entire soldier. The entire soldier could hide behind it. And the only way he could be hit with a fiery dart was if he went from behind his shield. The shield itself was made of wood, covered with metal, so that the burning darts or arrows couldn't penetrate it. We then brought that from the physical into the spiritual, and we saw that our warfare is one with the devil who throws the fiery darts at us. They can be thoughts that distress us, thoughts of sin, thoughts that allure us to sin. If they hit us, they are designed to explode into passion. Now, you can't stop them coming, but as we saw, it's how you deal with it. It's how you deal with it that matters. And for a time, that's just what I want to continue looking at with this morning. The shield of faith. That we want to just look here again this morning at the shield of faith. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We must remember that faith always has an object upon which it rests. And saving faith rests upon the person of Jesus Christ and his work. Christ is our shield. Over and over again in the scriptures, the Lord is referred to a shield for the shield of his people. The first time the word shield is used in the Bible, I want you to turn to it. It's in Genesis 15. Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 1. And there we read here, after these things, Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord come unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. Now, the text begins with the words, after these things. It's drawing our attention to what had happened in the previous chapters to Abraham. That's what it's drawing attention to. From chapter 13, when there was a strife between the herdmen of Lot and the herdmen of Abraham. Just go back there, chapter 13, and look with me at verse number 8. Because this strife has erupted between Abram and Lot's herdmen. And Abram said unto Lot, verse 8, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. We be brethren. There's no point of us fighting together. It's the same thought as happened over in 1 Samuel 17, whenever young David goes to the camp to fight Goliath, and one of his own brothers has a go at him, and David says, What have I done? Is there not a cause? And he just turns and walks away. He just turns and walks away. He's not wanting a confrontation, and here Abram's not wanting a confrontation with Lot either. It's like McShane said, the Holy Ghost in me will never fight with the Holy Ghost in you. If there's quarrels, if there's fighting, it has to be the flesh. For the Spirit of God in me will not fight with the Spirit of God in you. And here's Abram and Lot, and Abram says, We be brethren. Let there be no fighting among us. And then you get into chapter 14, and Abram again, Lot has got kidnapped. He's got taken by these invading kings, if you know the chapter. And Abraham hears of it, and he immediately gets an army together, and he goes against these kings, and he rescues Lot out of the hand of these kings. And then at the end of chapter 14, the king of Sodom comes to Abraham, and he offers Abraham this great reward for what he has done and his bravery, and Abraham turns it all down. He didn't want the reward from the king of Sodom. He turns it down. It's been a time of, in Abram's life, of battling the flesh and turning down the gift of Sodom and warfare, going out against these kings. That's what it's been. And maybe in Abram's heart, there's this thought, the kings will regroup and they'll come again at me. And they'll come and they'll be back. And immediately the Lord comes in with these words, 15 verse 1, after these things. After he's been through this with Lot, and there had to be this parting, after he's been through, and then he had to rescue Lot out of these kings, and then he's offered this gift, and he turns it down, and the Lord says, After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. I'll protect thee. It's the first fear not in the Bible also. That's where it is. You leave the activities of the enemy to me, the Lord says. What a word it was for Abraham. Just come through this time of testing, and the Lord says, Fear not, I am thy shield. Sometimes when we think of Abraham and these men, and they were giants in the faith, they were mighty men of God, but we nearly think that they didn't get scared. Well, it's obviously he was scared, because the Lord said to him, Fear not. So he had to be afraid. And here he is, and the Lord comes in with this word to reassure him about his future. Fear not, Abram, and the reason you're not to be afraid is, I'm thy shield. Christ was Abraham's shield. The Lord appears to Abram here and gives him this word, and of course it's symbolic. Because what the Lord was saying was this, and what he's saying to us this morning is, Christ is all to us that a shield is in the army, and more. That's what Christ is to us. Because a shield is between the army and the enemy. And Christ is between us and the enemy. We're kept by the power of God. We're upheld by the prayers of Christ. His blood prevails before the throne for us. And dear believer, the fiery darts lose their venom and their power under the blood. That's where they lose the venom. That's where they lose the power and the violence of them. They lose it under the blood. But over and over again in the Bible, Christ is referred to as the shield of his people. Go to the book of Psalms, right to the beginning of the book of Psalms. Psalm 3. Psalm number 3. I want you to look there with me. Look at verse 3. Here's David. The title of the psalm itself tells us what time it is in David's life. A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And Psalm 3 verse 3 says, But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of mine head. It's a time in David's life. He's been betrayed. His son has betrayed him. And the Lord comes to him and says, David says, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, the lifter up of mine head. It's a trying time. It's a difficult time. Absalom's out to dethrone him. He's got an army together. But the Lord comes along and reassures David, I'm your shield. Look at Psalm chapter 5, or Psalm 5, verse 12. Look at it. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him, as with a shield. Or go to Psalm 7, verse 10. My defense is of God. That word defense could also be read shield. My shield is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. You see, men and women, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world under the control of a supernatural being, the devil. He hates God with a perfect hatred. I've said that before. He hates Christ. He hates the Holy Ghost. He hates the church. He hates the believer. And the reason he hates you is you are on your way to heaven. You're the Lord's. You're bought by the blood. You're on your way to heaven, to that place, to dwell there where he will never be, but where he has been, because he was cast out of it. You're going to heaven. You're on your way to heaven. And the devil hates you because you're Christ, because he hates Christ. He hates God. He hates the Trinity with a perfect hatred. That's what he does. And he hates you. And the reason that the devil does not destroy us, as we saw last week in the lion's den about Daniel, isn't that he hasn't ceased to be the devil. It wasn't that those lions had ceased to be lions. It wasn't that they had no appetite. It wasn't that they wouldn't have destroyed Daniel. It was they couldn't. God wouldn't allow it. God was at Daniel's defense, and God is our defense. You see, a Roman shield could only protect the front of the soldier. That's all a Roman shield could do. But the Lord does much more than that for us. Look at Psalm 5 again, verse 12. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor thou wilt compass him as with a shield. Surrounds the believer. The Lord surrounds the believer. He surrounds them. He's the protector. The psalmist said, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him. The shield that we have encompasses us. Christ encompasses us. He surrounds us. Many times in the scripture we think of this thought of the Lord coming between the people of God and the enemy. That's what he does. Go back with me to Exodus 14. Exodus chapter 14. We're going through the scriptures a lot this morning. Exodus chapter 14. You know the story. They're coming out of Egypt. They're out. They're on their way to the Red Sea. All they hear in the background is the pursuing horses and the chariots of Egypt. But look at Exodus chapter 14, verse number 19. And the angel of God, there's Christ. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. That's to the Egyptians. But it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all night. The Egyptians could no longer destroy them. They couldn't pursue any further. They had lost their prey because Christ got between them. Christ got between them. Between the Egyptians and the Israel. It wouldn't stop them trying, and it doesn't stop the devil trying. But Christ encompasses us. He encompasses us as with a shield. Turn with me now to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. We all know the story. There's a phrase that comes up in this story all the time, and it's a little phrase, liars in wait. Look at verse number 9. You know the story. Delilah has been told to entice Samson to find out where his strength is. Judges 16, verse 5, the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we'll give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. Look at verse 9. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. Look at verse 12. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait, abiding in the chamber, just waiting the opportunity. waiting the opportunity for the plan to work. And dear believer, we must be sober, we must be vigilant, because that's what the devil does. Now I grant you again, Judges 16, you're not going to see the word Satan, you're not going to see the word devil, you're not going to see those words, but it bears all the hallmarks. Because Samson is a man full of the Holy Ghost. He has this strength that God gave him. He has this mighty anointing. And in the very chambers, this plan unknown to Samson, there they are, lying in wait, just waiting to exploit the opportunity. Just waiting. Delilah's told to entice him. Verse 16, came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. That is just fiery darts. Fiery darts. That's what it is. But the thought is, there are the liars in wait, the Philistines. They can do nothing until Samson reveals it, until he loses strength. They're lying in wait. They're waiting to exploit the situation. The problem is, Samson shouldn't be there. He shouldn't be with there. The whole plan is to bring him down. It's to exploit him. It's to bring him down. It's that he might lose his consecration. But see the thought. They're there lying in wait. They're in the very chamber where Samson is, and he doesn't realize it. And dear believer, the enemy's never far away. We always hear that phrase. And he never is far away. He's always waiting to exploit us. He's always waiting to get us into some situation where he can exploit and have his way, just the way it says it here. Underline those words in verse 9 and verse 12. And there were liars in wait abiding in the chamber. They're there. Samson doesn't realize it, but they're watching every movement. They're watching Samson. They have set their eyes on him. The plan has been hatched in hell itself. He has to be brought down. And they're lying in wait. And they're waiting an opportunity to bring the man of God down. The devil, as I have said before, he's a person. He's not an energy. The devil is a person. He knows us. He knows what suggestions in your mind will annoy you. He knows what will discourage you. He knows what will make you mad. He knows how to do it. We all know that. The thoughts come, and before we know, in our minds we're off on a wee tangent, and we're not even near anybody, but the thoughts have come. Because he knows us. And we must recognize when they come, where they come from. We're being assaulted. That's what we are. You're being spiritually assaulted. It's a spiritual assault, irrespective of what the thought is, irrespective of what the temptation is, irrespective of what the allurement is. Samson was being assaulted here. Satan tries to alarm us and fill us with fear. That's how he does it. If you do this, such and such is going to happen. You do that, you're finished. That's what he does. Tries to alarm us. They're fiery darts or temptations or allurements, whatever way you want to call it. That's what they're designed for, because the devil is always near. There's liars in wait in the chamber. He's always near. And that's why the Lord says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, I want you to note the words, walketh about. He's in no hurry. He's in no hurry. He walketh about, seeking, he's searching, whom he may devour. And they're just waiting their time. Judges 16, they're lying in wait. They have all the time in the world. Samson's getting weaker. And they're lying in wait. They're lying in wait to exploit the situation. Now, maybe you're here today, and another way the devil sometimes comes in is this. He says, sure, you're not even saved. So what are you worried about? You're not even saved in the first place. And many of the Lord's people suffer from that fiery dart terribly. They lack assurance of salvation. And that is a vicious attack of the devil. You get down to pray. I have talked to people, you get down to pray, and they got on their knees, and they said to me, the first thought that comes into my head, what are you getting on your knees for? You're not even saved. And before they've even opened their mouth to pray to the Lord, they're in absolute turmoil. Absolute turmoil. And it's a very real thing. But it is a fiery dart of the devil. It is an assault on the mind. You're being spiritually assaulted. Or you go to witness to somebody or say a word for the Lord, and before you even get your mouth open, the thought comes into your head, well, what are you going to say something for? Sure, you don't even know whether you're saved or not. And it's a very real thing. And what it is it's the fiery darts of the devil. Now turn with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And look with me at verse number 28. It's the great chapter of faith and heroes of the faith, really. And it's a good title for it, for there were great men and women in this chapter. Hebrews 11, 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Through faith, he kept the Passover. Through faith. As I've said, faith always is an object. Through faith in Christ, through faith in what God had said, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. You know the night in view. It's the Passover. Go back to Exodus 12. Let's just go there. Because maybe you are here and you lack assurance. Am I saved? What do I rest on? I don't feel saved. My dear friend, you're not saved by your feelings. Exodus 12, verse 13. Look there with me. Exodus 12, verse 13. Here's the word the Lord has given. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's the night in view. The Lord has told the Israelite to take a lamb, kill it, put the blood upon the doorposts and the lintel. And the Lord says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And then Hebrews 12 or 11 tells us, by faith they kept the Passover. The object of their faith was the blood. Because assurance of salvation, their assurance that night did not rest on how they felt inside that house. It didn't rest there. It rested on the blood that was outside. You see, as we look, think in our mind's eye that night, let's do it like this. There were two homes in Israel or in Egypt that night. And there are two Israelite homes. And we look indoors, and in each home there's a firstborn son. You see, the difference between the Israelite home that night and the Egyptian home was not morality. It was the blood. If there had been no blood in the Israelite home, the firstborn was dying too. It wasn't morality, it wasn't nationality, it was the blood. But in the mind's eye, we look into those two homes. In Egypt that night, two Israelite homes. And we look into them, and there's a firstborn son in each home. And the first lad comes to his father in the first home, and he says, Father, I'm the firstborn. I'm to die tonight. His father says, it's okay, son. The blood's applied. I have the blood in the door and the lintel. And God has said when he sees the blood, he'll pass over. It's okay, son. And the lad sleeps secure all night. He rests by faith in the promise. He rests by faith in God that could not lie. He's strong in faith. But then we look in the other home. The Israelite home that night in Egypt. Another young boy comes to his father. Says, Father, I'm the firstborn. I'm to die tonight. His father says, son, it's okay. The blood's applied. The blood's applied. I have the blood and the posts and the lintel. God says when he sees the blood, he'll pass over. That's what the Lord said. But the fiery darts come. The fiery darts come all night. And the young lad's weak in faith. And they come all night and he's terrified and he can't sleep the whole night long. Because he's the firstborn. And he can't rest. And the fiery darts of the devil come to him. You're the firstborn. You're going to die tonight. And he can't rest. And he can't sleep. He's weak in faith. But in the morning, both are well. both are still alive. Because, dear people, that night did not depend on strong faith or weak faith. It depended on the blood. You understand what I'm saying? An assurance of salvation does not depend on what you have done or strong faith or weak faith. Remember, those people inside those homes couldn't see the blood. The blood was on the outside. But God saw it. And he who cannot lie said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. But here's the point. One young Israelite lad slept better. But he wasn't more secure. Because it depended on the blood. One slept better, yes. One rested in the Word of God, but he wasn't more secure than the other. Because God, who couldn't lie, says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It didn't depend on how the firstborn felt. It depended on the blood. And men and women, the shield of faith is Christ. And let the assaults and the temptations and the fiery darts and the lack of assurance, let them drive you to the object of your faith. Because you are not saved by what you do. You're saved by what Christ has done. You're not saved by your faith. You're saved by the object of your faith. If all who had weak faith perished, we all perish. Men and women, the shield of faith is Christ. And let the assaults of the devil and the fiery darts drive you to him, drive you to the feet of the Savior. Turn with me as we draw near an end here to Proverbs chapter 18. Verse number 22. Proverbs 18, verse 22. And there we read, no, that's not the right text. Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now, how is the name of the Lord a strong tower? That's the question. This tower that the righteous run into and they're safe, the name of the Lord, what is the name of the Lord? Jehovah. Jehovah is to his people all that his name says he is to his people. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it as safe. Now you see verse 10 there, the word Lord, it's in capitals. It's the name Jehovah. How is the name of the Lord a strong tower? Because the name of the Lord tells us what the Lord is to us. That's what it is. You think of the name Jehovah. You think of the terms in the Bible. Jehovah, Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord our righteousness. When the devil taunts us about our sin, when he reminds us of it, when we come to pray, Jehovah Sekenu, there's our righteousness. There's our merit upon which we approach God. Or Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. When the trouble's in the mind, whenever you're assaulted, when you think you're like the little ship in the ocean, the Lord's our peace. Peace with God through the blood of the cross. That's how he's a strong tower. He's a strong tower that the righteous run at. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner for battle. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord's there always. He's the omnipresent God. And we begin to see what Solomon meant here when he said the name of the Lord's a strong tower. Because in the Lord's name, he reveals to us what he is to us. He's our righteousness. He's our peace. He provides for us. He's our banner for the battle. He's always there. And then there's Jehovah Sabaoth, which means the Lord of the hosts of the armies of heaven. And men and women, that's how the name of the Lord's a strong tower. Because the Lord is to you all that his name is. He's your righteousness. He's your peace. You have peace with God that you can never lose. He's the one that provides for you, Jehovah Jireh. He's your banner, leading you into battle, leading you through this fallen world. He's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord that's always there. And then he's Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of the hosts of the armies of heaven. He is that to his people. And in the day of battle, in the day of doubt, in the day of the fiery darts, whatever the dart is, the name of the Lord's the strong tower. The righteous run into it because they realize that all that Jehovah is in his name, he is to them and for them, and all he ever did, he did it for the sake of his people. All things are for our sakes, men and women. All things. Every step that Christ took on this earth, as I have said before in gospel preaching, every step he took from the cradle to the cross, he took it for you. Every one of them. Every moment, everything he did it for you. Every moment of his life now in heaven, it's for you. Because he prays in the power of an endless life. There's never a moment when he doesn't pray. Sometimes when I'm doing hospital visits, that's what I tell the people. We come and we go and we pray and then we leave and we go home. But the Lord never leaves and the Lord never stops praying. He's always there. He's always praying. He's always watching. He's always with his people. And men and women, that's what Christ is to us in the day of battle. In the day when the devil roars, when we feel that we can't pray, when we feel the fiery darts, the name of the Lord's the strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. He's our righteousness. He's our peace. He provides. He's our banner. He's always there. He leads us into victory. He leads us into battle. He leads us out the other side. And when we lift our shield of faith and call on his name in the midst of battle, we call on one who comes running to our aid, and he comes. He comes as the one in whom he is, revealed in his glorious titles. The one that you call upon is your righteousness. He's the one that provides, and that is why it's good to know those names and to understand them and to see them, that is exactly what the Lord is to you. He's your righteousness. That's why you'll never perish, because you're accepted by God because of Christ's righteousness. Completely accepted, loved as he is loved. That's an amazing statement in itself. God loves you as much as he loves Jesus Christ. And that is incredible. When we think of our lives and we think of Christ's life, the fact that God would love me or you, that the Father looks on us and loves us and delights in us as much as he loves his Son, is incredible. But he does, because he loves us and accepts us in Christ. Because Jehovah Sekenu is our righteousness. The righteousness we have is not of our own. It's the righteousness of another. And when the devil roars and fires his fiery darts about ills that we have done, though we know them all, as the hymn writer said, and thousands more, because of what the Lord is to us, Jehovah findeth none. We're covered. We're under the blood. Like the two lads in Egypt, one slept better, but he didn't sleep more secure, because it depended on the blood. Let's unite our hearts in prayer, please. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we do thank thee again for the one who is our shield. We thank thee for our blessed Lord Jesus, the one that stands between us and the enemy. We pray, O God, that you'll draw near and you'll keep us under the shadow of thy wing till all our wandering cease. And at our Father's blessed abode, may our souls arrive in peace. And O God, we cry to thee that you'll keep us under the blood. Save us from the wiles of the devil. Save us from self. Save us from, O God, falling into the snares of those that lie in wait. We cry unto thee, O God, to hear prayer upon the throne. And let the blood of Christ prevail even today and answer prayer. And come upon us and bless the prayer meeting now as we go into it. Answer prayer there. Bless the remaining moments in the Sabbath school. Hear prayer and part us now with your blessing. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.